This Family Day weekend. I was just thinking about that this morning. It's Family Day weekend. And there's an old chorus. It's not that old. Well, it depends who you are. Back in the 70s, I think. It's a Gaither song. And it is, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." It's hymn number 282. It goes like this. "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family.
Family of come up here at this time. She's a child of God. She's on reading week. It's good to have some of our university students, Bible college students, on that are back on reading week. And are you a child of God? You ever feel trapped by fear? Yeah? And isn't it good to have the Lord set you free? Anybody doesn't understand what fear is. And to be bound by it, to have panic attacks, and I'm not, this is not you, but, you know, this is me. I'm testifying about me now, about being bound by fear. This is such a liberating song because it focuses on your identity in Christ. It's not just some old-fashioned song, I'm kicking the devil in the teeth when he tries to scare me, and there's some of those old-time songs. This one, I like this better because it brings your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ as being the source of your strength. Amen? Good theology. Every now and then it's good to have good theology. Amen, brother? Every now and then. Amen. What is God doing and saying into your life at university, college, sorry. Step into that microphone. Did you not know when you were coming up here that something was likely going to happen? Or when I said Sister Barclay, and there's a couple of maiden named Barclays here, but you're the only one that still has the name Barclay. So.
Okay, I think I'm just going to pray, actually.
You know what? I was going to ask you to pray earlier. So maybe I just delayed. Could you pray?
Sure.
And just pray into, and I would specifically pray, if I could just give you a little nudge.
Sure.
About praying about young people especially, and that God would just help and minister to young people today. They're going through a lot of struggles and just need the love of God. Could you just pray? Pray into our little sister here that's come home. And yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Father, we just put ourselves before you.
Yes.
As your children.
Mm.
And we don't really understand that maybe all the way through. We don't see it the way you see it, God, but I pray that we can a little bit, just so that we know you more, God, that that the mountains would be small to us, and our fear would just be small. God, that that we would each have the strength to find our way in you and know the journey you have for us, God. That our puzzle piece would just fit.
Yes.
That we would just through you know who we are.
Yes, Lord. Yes, truly.
Lord, I pray for the young people here as well, that they would just be not afraid of the world that is ahead of us, God, because it's scary and it's it knocks you off your feet sometimes, God. But I pray that you're the one holding us up, that you're the one that that follows us and leads us and is all around us, that no one would ever have to worry anymore about that. God, I'm so grateful that we come into your kingdom, and it's like new.
Yeah.
It's like let the dead bury their dead.
Yes.
Because you're coming. You just come now.
Yes.
And we're so grateful for that. Lord, I pray that you reach my generation, and that the people that, you know, I'm driving up to church and everybody in their car is like over 50. And I'm like, where are the young people?
Yes, Lord.
Where are the young people driving to church? God, because we need to see that, Lord. And I pray for Harmony Church that would be a need, that they have hearts to fill.
Yeah.
God, that, that the people that are lost, that have so much longer to go, are just filled up by the love at Harmony Church and the love of Jesus Christ. And I thank you and I praise you, God, in Christ's name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am a child of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, O God, today that, Lord, you know us completely, that you've got a plan for our lives. Lord, help us to seek your plan and not to just go to you and try to have you bless our plans. So, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Bless these kids, Lord, as they grow in the knowledge and the understanding of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, you would lead them into your plan, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Just want to draw your attention to the book of Genesis. We're going to be a little bit here and a little bit there. But as we get into the Word this morning, we're continuing a series on the blessings of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we're talking about these past few weeks, and we'll continue to talk about how that we can inherit the blessings of Israel. That the things spoken, the things prophesied over the various tribes of Israel, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of course, Jacob's 12, that these things are things that we can claim in our lives today. And so we come in our series to Zebulun. And blessing that Zebulun has is that blessed is the one who remains and accepts the plan of God for their lives, for God will dwell in their midst. All right? Accept the plan. Blessed are those who accept the plan of God for their lives, for God will dwell in their midst. Father, once again, we come before you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to reveal your word to us, O God, today. May the word have power over every principality in the name of Jesus. May the word have its way so that you can have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. When we were doing witnessing on the streets of Yonge Street in Toronto, the streets of Yonge Street, that doesn't sound exactly right, the streets of Toronto, specifically Yonge Street, one of the things that we often would say was, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That was the way we often introduced the gospel message to people. We had little booklets that said exactly that in the front of it. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. To which we introduced them into the four spiritual laws. And that was how we introduced the gospel. And I think the reason why we did that, number one, we wanted people to know that God loved them. Because, you know, that's a good place to start. And the second thing is, especially in those circumstances where people were very much confused about their life situation, is that God has a plan for your life. If the people weren't interested in the fact that God loved them, maybe they would at least be interested in the fact that a sovereign God would have some plan for their life. Of course, the suggestion of that is that maybe the plan that you have is not his plan. And so we did that. Zebulun, depends on even different translations have it. He is blessed because he stuck to the plan of God. Who is Zebulun? Well, there's not as much written about him like there was about Judah last week, the one I gave to Pastor Dan to chew on and spit out. So this one is a little easier as far as, in one sense, because there's not as much written about him, but harder because there's not as much written about him. So it has those two-edged sword. But he was the last son of Leah. Leah, of course, you know, is one of the two wives of Jacob. You know the story. We've repeated it several times. What we're doing in this 12-tribe series is we're increasing our intelligence and understanding of the Old Testament. And so it doesn't matter if we repeat a few times some of the facts. And so Leah, being the second wife of Jacob, you know the story how that there was a competition between those two, how that he had to wait 14 years to marry Rachel. He had already married Leah. She was the first wife of the two. He was tricked into marrying her, but he waited around the 14 years, and she was the one that began to bear the children for him. And there was still animosity between her and her sister. And so it was in Genesis chapter 49 when she gives birth to the tenth child or the tenth son of Jacob. But for her, it was the sixth. And so when she gives birth to Zebulun, she's very excited. It's a good birth. It's a wanted child. Amen. I mean, it's good to be a wanted child. It helps you to start off in life well if your mother wants you. All right. There are those that are not as blessed to be as wanted. But he was wanted. In fact, she says in her praise to God when he is born, this sixth son, she says in verse, I don't have it right here, but maybe it's up there. In Genesis chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, it says this. She says, and Leah conceived again and bare Jacob a sixth son. And she said, God has blessed me with a precious gift. This time, surely my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. And so she named him Zebulun. Now, the scholars have a trouble. They have many different ideas about what Zebulun means. And some of them go, there's a great debate. Some say gift dwelling with us. Some say habitation of promise, because the root word of his name could be this way, that way, or the other way. But I would tend to favor what she said, and that is what the mother said. And the mother said he is a precious gift. And so I am saying, in my very low literary understanding of these things, but I would say that I'm going with what mom said, not what the scholars necessarily said. And what his name means is precious gift. Precious gift. And so here he is, Zebulun is born, he's a wanted child, he is the sixth of her children, he is the tenth of the children, and he lives his life, and we experiences what the other lads experience. We don't hear much from him, but we know that he's there, we know he's amongst them, we know that when Joseph is sold into slavery that he was there, we know that when the brothers went into Egypt later to get food and Joseph confronted them then, we know that he was there then. So he was a witness to all of these things. But when he gets to that point, when his dad is nearing death, and Jacob gives out his blessing, gives out his inheritance to all of his sons, it's interesting to note that even though he is tenth in line to receive, in Jacob's list, he is, in Genesis chapter 49, he's the fifth to receive a blessing. Now, you may say, what significance is that? Well, everything was significant in those days. And so if you were the firstborn, you got the firstborn blessing. And if you were the secondborn, you got the secondborn blessing. And if you were the thirdborn, you got the thirdborn blessing. That's kind of the way it went. And here you can see Brother Zebulun, he is in the crowd of his brothers, the 12 tribes representative in them, and here he is there, and he's kind of, you know, waiting along, you know, like, I got a long time to wait. You ever heard that? You're in school, and you're going down the list alphabetically or whatever else, and you get a long line, you got a long time to wait, so you're not just listening up, and then all of a sudden, Dad says, Zebulun. You think, whoa, it's not my turn. And he begins to put that blessing onto Zebulun. So there was something special about even the order that Brother Jacob gave to his son. So there's something significant here about him receiving a blessing even though it wasn't his turn in line. He was a special gift. Besides his birth, Zebulun is hardly mentioned again. But here is the blessing. Doesn't matter if he's not mentioned much. Here's the blessing. In chapter 49, verse 13, he says this, Zebulun shall live by the seashore, and he will become a safe haven for ships. He will extend his borders toward Sidon. That's it. That's what Dad gave him. That's the blessing that Jacob gave to Zebulun. And some of you may think that you're insignificant in God's eyes. You may think that you're insignificant in the kingdom. Here is Zebulun, hardly mentioned in the scripture, and yet he is elevated in the blessing that he gets. He did not do a lot of bad. He didn't do a lot of good. I don't know what he did because he's hardly mentioned. Anyways, sometimes those people who think they are not noticed by God. Do you think that sometimes? God doesn't notice you. You're just a quiet Christian, that you're not significant in the kingdom. But the blessing is that God knows exactly where you will be. He knows all about you, and his plans for you are great. In fact, he says to Zebulun, to this what might be called an insignificant or lesser one of the brethren and lesser one of the tribes of Israel, he says, listen, you're going to expand your borders. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to put you on the shores. You're going to be blessed with fishing. You're going to be blessed by helping others. You're going to be a safe haven for others. You're going to be a safe haven for ships. And you're going to extend your borders right into the enemy's territory, right into the place of the dominion of the enemy. You're going to expand your borders into those places. It is a significant blessing that Zebulun receives. In those days, to prophesy that you will have more territory meant that what was initially given you was certainly a blessing that God had for him. More territory means that you may be insignificant in the eyes of others, but in God notices you. Amen. God sees you. God sees what you're going through. He knows exactly about you. And he says, listen, I want to bless you and I want to expand your borders. I want you to take more territory from the enemy. I want to put you in a place where you will be able to help others, that they will have a safe haven in you, that they will come to your territory, and that they will experience safety from the enemy, safety from the wind, safety from the waves, safety from the elements that are out there, that you will be this. This is what he says. And why did he deserve such a blessing? Well, why does any of us deserve any blessing? Except that being faithful, God will bless you. Just being faithful. Just being committed. Just being willing to do what the plan of the Father is, God will bless you. And he will move you so that you will have a greater footprint. You know, they talk about your carbon footprint nowadays. Well, that you will have a greater footprint, that you will have a greater experience, that you will take more territory by just simply being faithful. I want you to be encouraged by this message this morning, because the enemy wants to tell you that you're insignificant, that unless you do this or that or the other, unless you have certain kinds of ministry or whatever it is, that you're not significant to God. God notices you. God loves you. God has a plan for your life, and it's a wonderful plan. If you would just be faithful with what God gives you, he'll give you more. The enemy wants to put you out of your place. He wants to put you out of the plan of God. He wants you to follow some other plan. But as I said to the kids this morning, God does have a plan for us. He says, I know the plans I have for you in Jeremiah 29, declares the Lord, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. So what happened to the descendants of Zebulun? Well, the descendants of Zebulun, they went in and they took the territory that God had promised them through the prophetic blessing that Dad had given to them. They went in and they possessed the land. But the enemy resented their blessing. How do you, many of you know that the enemy can't stand when the people of God are blessed? Does anybody know that? And the enemy resented the blessing of Zebulun, resented the fact that they kept taking more territory. Here was this little tribe, not one of the bigger tribes of Israel, but given a beautiful piece of land. In fact, they extended their land into the enemy's camp. And the enemy didn't like it. They resented the blessing of Zebulun. Remember that part of our prophetic blessing was to expand the borders, and that's what they did. In Judges chapter 4, we find the story of how that the enemy, the Canaanites, they resented Zebulun. They resented the territory that had been taken from them. And so they went and they said, we're taking it back. We're getting back the territory. We're pushing back the children of God. We're pushing back the people of Zebulun and the other tribes that had encroached upon them. And so they began to do battle and it was incremental. It was the enemy took a little chunk here, took a little chunk there, took a little chunk here, took a little chunk there. Isn't that kind of what the enemy does? Sometimes he just doesn't come all out shiny and come. Sometimes just takes a little piece here so that you won't notice it. A little piece there so you won't miss it. And all of a sudden, before you know it, it's a couple of hectares. Before you know it, it's the whole farm. You know what I mean? The enemy just takes a little bit at a time, and that's what? Just gnawing away and taking away and coming against and never taking opportunity. You see, the devil is an opportunist, so don't give him opportunity. The Bible says in the New Testament, says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him the opportunity, because if you give him the opportunity, he will take the opportunity. And so incrementally, the enemy, the Canaanites, were taken away and stealing bits and pieces of the prosperity of Zebulun and the other tribes. And the people of God kind of let them. Because the Bible says that in that day there was no judge in Israel. There was no leader. There was nobody to rally around. There was nobody that was willing to stand up to the Canaanites. And so a sister of God, Sister Deborah, God raised up Deborah, and Deborah says, listen, I can't stand to see the way things are going here. The men are doing nothing, so I'm going to get up there and I'm going to do it. And Deborah rallied the people of God. And God says, I'm with you on this. I'm kind of condensing things. But she comes together and brings together the people of God in chapter 4 and verse 6. Deborah steps forward. God honors her willingness. And it says this, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you to go and take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. And I will lead Seresta, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishron River, and I will give the enemy into your hands. This was the prophetic thing that was speaking through Deborah. And so God raised her up. There was a lack of leadership in Israel at that time, and someone had to come together. Now, we find that in the fight, that the people of Zebulun, the tribe of Zebulun, did very well. They fought hard. They fought well. All they needed was leadership. All they lacked was somebody to rally behind. In fact, in chapter 5, Deborah looks at the tribe of Zebulun and she says, man, these guys did good. She said they did wonderful. It says they risked their lives. They put themselves at the front lines. You know, it was the territory of Zebulun that was being taken. And I tell you what, Zebulun went to the front lines for it. They weren't going to let somebody else go to the front lines for them. They're saying, listen, the enemy has taken my stuff. I'm going to go to the front lines, and I'm going to be in the fight here. And so the tribe of Zebulun went to fight the enemy and fought the enemy to take back the territory that the enemy had stolen from them. In the scriptures, it says that they were a bold and unselfish people who were ready to fight, who were ready to risk their own lives to see the enemy defeated. A few years later, one of the judges of Israel came from the tribe of Zebulun. His name was Elon, and there's nothing said about him. So anyways, this tribe, it's not a significant tribe, but they were a people who believed in the plan of God. They took the territory, they took the space that God had promised them, and they kept it. Now, how significant a tribe are you? God wants to bless you. How significant is the tribe of Harmony amongst all the other tribes as far as this church is concerned? Well, we can make plans for ourselves, or we can follow the plan of God has for us. been here 25 years, as you know, almost, and there was a time when we came to Harmony, and there wasn't very many. Here today would be a bumper crop of people, I tell you what, had this many come out the first couple of Sundays that we were here, for sure. There wasn't many folks that were part of the church at that particular time. And when I was at ministerials with other churches around, they just made reference to Little Harmony. Little Harmony. And the thing is, did I have a great plan, or was there great plans for us? Well, God had a plan for us, and you are all part of that plan. God has led you here, and God has done things in your life, and it's not because we have any particular pretty-looking preacher up here. We got prettier ones. But, you know, it's not because of any particular great plan, but let's just be faithful. Let's just remain faithful to His Word. Let's remain faithful to the promises of God. Let's remain faithful to the prophetic things that God has revealed to us. Don't try to do somebody else's thing unless God wants you to do that thing. Don't try to copy some other place or some other thing. Just do what God has called you to do. Take the territory that God has said is yours. And then when the enemy tries to take it away from you, fight for it. Amen? And remember that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, because that's easy to fall into, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Fight against those ones who are trying to take away, trying to take away from us the things that God has promised us and the blessing that the Lord has for us. All right. The next blessing I want to talk about is Moses. And so Moses in Deuteronomy 33, we have, if you're following this series, we have Jacob's blessing and we have Moses' blessing. Jacob's blessing and Moses' blessing. So both of them went through the tribes, Moses in more order, and bless them. And here is the blessing that Moses gave in Deuteronomy chapter 33. It's different versions say different things, but basically it says this: Rejoice, Zebulun, in where the Lord has placed you. Be happy, rejoice, be blessed where God has put you. Yeah, well, I'd rather be down there where Judah is. Well, I'd rather have what Asher has. I'd rather have a little place there down there. Oh, there's this nice little valley that God has given to Benjamin. I think I'd rather have what God gave to Benjamin instead of up here in the hill country, stretched between two seas. And they'll be happy, Zebulun, rejoice where the Lord puts you. Contentment. Spiritual contentment, not apathy. Sometimes it can be confused with apathy. Sometimes it can be confused with laziness. We're not talking about spiritual laziness. We're not talking about spiritual apathy. We're talking about an action here. What is the action word in the prophecy? Rejoice! Rejoice does not mean stand still. Rejoice is an action word. Celebrate! Get excited about where God has placed you. And get enthused about what the Lord is doing. Amen? Rejoice in it. And because they rejoiced in it, because they celebrated it, because when they got into that land what God had promised through Jacob and was given to them, they fought for it. They were active about it. They rejoiced in it. And because they rejoiced in it, the kingdom came to them. The little map there, you'll see Zebulun along the Sea of Galilee. Different maps, you find different maps have different ideas. This is a British, what's known as one of the considered standard in many circles, and many others don't agree with him, but that's okay, because he took that prophecy given, and he really said, sea, harbor, ships, and so he went all the way to the coast. Other maps only have them on the Sea of Galilee, Zebulun, so depends on what ones you get, but the point is, we know for sure that Zebulun was on the Sea of Galilee, and who was raised and preached on the Sea of Galilee. We know that Zebulun had Nazareth, we know that for sure. That Nazareth was part of what was part of the territory at one time, many moons ago, of Zebulun. Who came to Zebulun? Who preached in Zebulun? Who went along the shores of Galilee? Who preached in Capernaum? Who preached in these towns of Zebulun? Who brought the kingdom message there? But it was Jesus Christ, amen? Where did he preach his first message? And he preached it this, and he preached it in the territory formerly known as Zebulun, called the territory of Galilee. He preached this first as a fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah said he would do it. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he preached it first in Zebulun. Some will run, some will chase to try to find the blessing of God, but Zebulun held its ground and God came to them. You know, if you are where God has called you to be, if you are who God called you to be, if you are where God called you to be, then God will come to you if you believe Him. If you confess the things that He has spoken into your life, if you confess the things that the Word has revealed to you, God will come to you, amen? He'll meet you where you are. He'll bring revival to where you are. God's waiting for agents of revival to be simple people who are willing to be the vessels of God, who are content to be the people of God, to be where God has put them and placed them and where He sends them. And God will work through you. Doesn't matter if your last name is Maines or Rutledge. Used to be those were the names in the Pentecostal world. You know, it doesn't matter what your last name is. Doesn't matter what your family name is. Doesn't matter. It could be Wallace. That's a good name, brother. You know, but you know, it doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter who your connection is. If you just be faithful. Be faithful. Know the plan of God. But that involves something. And I'll get to that in just a minute. Accept God's plan for your life because He has plans to advance. He has plans to prosper. He has plans for you not to be harmed, but to be blessed where you are. Rejoice where God has placed you. Hold the ground from the enemy, and God will come to you. You may think that you got a better plan than God's, but as you sweat and strive and struggle to design another plan, we're just getting further away from the simple plan that God has for us. The danger of much of what is called some circles prosperity preaching is to cause people to be dissatisfied with God's plan. That's not true prosperity, because He has a plan to prosper and to bless. But if it's always being unsatisfied with where you are, always unsatisfied where the Lord has placed you, if there's a matter of unsatisfaction, then it's not. If you strive and strive and strive. I'm good friends with a brother who strove to succeed. He was a pastor in southern Ontario, and he held down two jobs, and he had a church, and because he had to look like God was blessing him. He had to have a certain truck. He had to have a certain house. He had to have a certain lifestyle because he had to prove to his people and to the people around him that God was blessing him. And he wore himself out and his family out. And he ended up quitting the ministry, temporarily at least, because he couldn't keep it up. Friends, God has a plan for your life to bless you where you are and prosper you in His ways. The Heavenly Father will confirm His plan to you if you ask Him. God can bless you. And God can bless us in what may appear in the most God-forsaken place. And you may say, Lord, why did you lead me here? This can't be God. Because I want to bless you in the wilderness. I want to turn the wilderness into a place of vegetation. I want to make a highway in the wilderness. There's many scriptures and prophecies about that in the Old Testament. It isn't about going to a place that's already prepared and fancy and everything, but sometimes He leads us into the wilderness so that we will see the hand of God bring forth water, bring forth life, and bless us. I was talking to a brother the other day, Brother Ken Boyd. Reverend Ken Boyd, he's retired. He lives up in the Ottawa Valley, up in Cobden, right next to Logos land. He lives right up there. Back in the early 80s, he was an executive at Xerox. And
But that was a good day to be an executive at Xerox. You know, they had the market on photocopiers and whatever else back then. And he was an executive. He was in BC as an executive. Beautiful BC, you know. And God spoke to his heart strongly and said, I want you to go to a Bible college. Actually, it was Kitchener. And it was actually Emmanuel Bible College in Kitchener. And he felt very strongly about this, that God, the call of God was on him. And God even specifically told a town, he actually didn't know that there was a college there. But, you know, when he got, he did some research and found out, this is before Google, so it takes a little longer. But he found out that there was a college there that had the specific courses that God was leading him to. And so he said, there's the plan. And so he went to his company and he said, he prayed, talked to his wife, and said, where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to, how are we going to survive? How are we going to do this? What are we going to do that? And he says, well, if it's God's plan, then the company will have to yield to God's plan because I'm not. And so he went to the company and he went to Xerox and he said, I'm going to Kitchener. And normally he said they only do this for top executives, but the company came back and said, okay, you can go to Kitchener. We'll give you a job in Kitchener, in our office in Kitchener. So he came back to the company and says, I want you to pay for my travel from BC to Kitchener. Move my household stuff. And he says, they didn't do this normally, but they said, we will move you to Kitchener. And then he came back and he said, I need to take courses. And I can't do that if I'm a full-time executive, and executives are full-time. They get a salary. There's no way around it. You're a full-time executive. So they came back and they says, all right, we'll give you part-time so that he could pay for his Bible college. And so he said, well, he said, I guess Xerox is still part of the plan of God. Because he wasn't moving the plan of God, but God had to move Xerox. And so we have to, you know, when God says, gives us a plan, when God says, this is where we are, other things have to move into the plan. And so we have to let God do his work. Basically, he was saying to the company, this is the plan of God. If you're going to be part of that great thing, you must bend to the plan, because the plan isn't going to bend to you. Amen? Just last three things. And that is, how do we find the plan of God? Well, purpose in your heart to find it. That's the first P. I got 3 points, but it'll only take 3 minutes. Purpose in your heart to follow the plan of God. Very simple. I have it in the wrong order. Perceive the plan of God. That's right. Perceive the plan of God. In other words, get to know, find out what the plan of God is. Pray about it. Fast about it. Search the scriptures about it. Find out what the plan of God is. Perceive the plan of God. Get to know the plan of God. Actually ask him. How often do you actually ask God whether it's his will or not? How often does the church, and I think it was said in prayer earlier, but how often does the church say, Lord, what is your plan, as opposed to coming and saying, Lord, here's our plans, would you please bless them? Here's what we've done. Here's what we've planned. Here's the plan that we've got. We've hired a consultant. We went to this, and here's the plan that we've got. Now, Lord, please bless our plans. Here's our, wherever my thing is, here's our plans, Lord. We've paid the consultants. They've got beautiful designs. They've got our wonderful artwork. They've did their work. Lord, here it is. We're going to bring in lots of people and lots of money and whatever else. Here's our plans, Lord. Would you please bless them, Lord? As opposed to saying, Lord, is this your will? Is this your plan? And after perceiving purpose in your heart, saying, if this is the territory that the Lord is giving me, then I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to fight for it. If the enemy tries to incrementally take it away from me, I'm going to fight him on it, because it's mine, that God has given me this, and I'm going to stick to it. If there are other offers that seem to be better than that, I'm going to say no to them, because the plan of God will always be better in the long run. And thirdly and lastly, persevere. Even when things get tough, even when there is opposition, in fact, friends, why wouldn't the enemy be opposed to the plan of God in your life? And the best way, as the promise, oh, there is another one. The best way is to rejoice in the plan of God. You stop playing with that thing, you keep getting more points up here. Is to rejoice in the plan of God. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for where you've placed me. Thank you for the plan of God in my life. I rejoice in it. I celebrate it. I'm a child of God. I'm the things that you've called me in the Word. The Word is there, and here's who I am, and I just rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. In the plan of God. And proclaim it. Proclaim it. Speak it. Tell yourself, tell the enemy, and tell the people around you, these are the promises of God. This is what God has given me. My name is Zebulun. Your name is not Zebulun, but if you understand what I'm saying, and please don't name your children or grandchildren Zebulun either. You know, spiritually, people. Spiritually. The promises of God, speak them over your life. Testify of the goodness of God. Rejoice and celebrate what God does. Celebrate the plan of God. Tell people, this is what God is doing. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't exactly know where this is going to go from here, but praise God in it. Does that sound familiar in your life today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you are a blessing God, that you are a God that desires good things in your children's life. You are a God that speaks truth into us, Lord. Father, help us, Lord, not to be deceived by this world or even to be deceived by our own flesh. But Lord, help us to discern the will of God and the plan of God for our life. Help us to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. By this we know that we are your children in that we are led by the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray for this congregation today. I pray for those that are under the sound of my voice today. I pray that even though they may think that they're insignificant, they may think that they're not special, they may think that they are not too big in the kingdom of God. Lord, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that you would speak into their hearts and speak into their lives and break through those ideas and communicate to them, Lord, that they are special and that you have a wonderful plan for them, a plan to prosper and to bless, a plan not to harm, but a plan to give hope and a future, a plan to expand the territory into the devil's realm and take territory from him instead of him taking more territory from you. Lord, we claim that in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people who believe that said, amen and amen. If you would like prayer today for any reason, as we close our time in prayer today, you're welcome to come and be prayed for. Let's stand for the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you. And may you remember and confess the blessings that are on your life. May you go forth from this place. Blessing of God in your mouth as well as in your heart, and with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of his peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you today.